You know, I don't know of anybody that, or should I say all of us here this morning, I believe want to make our life count for something, don't you? Amen? You know, when we leave this world, what will be said of you? Amen? Did you make an impact, an impression while you was on this earth? Or did you just come through and leave nothing in return? Amen? But, you know, even non-Christians want their life to mean something. Amen? But one of the reasons I'm in ministry today is because I want my life to have an impact in the people's life that I come across and that I meet. How many realize that? And hopefully it's for the good. Amen? Hopefully it's for the good. Now, I've met some people, and I don't know, their decision may be so-so. How many know what I'm talking about? But I'm praying that the impact I can make in the lives of people that I contact is a good impression. Amen? And it's something good, that I can leave something powerful in their lives, that their lives might be able to be changed. You know, everywhere Jesus went in His ministry here on this earth, Jesus had an impact upon the people that He came in contact with. How many realize that? When you begin to pick up God's Word and begin to go through the Gospels, and everyone you see that Jesus came in contact with, He left an impression. He left an impact upon their lives. How many realize that today? Everywhere He went, His lives were changed because the ministry of Jesus Christ was all about people. How many realize that today? You know, Jesus left heaven and came to earth, and the reason He did was that you and I might, our lives might be changed, amen, to change broken, hurting people, amen, and their lives will never be the same. Now, as several weeks ago, as we started this message, this new series entitled Making Your Life Count, the first message we gave you was this, that life is about choices. How many realize that today? Our life is a choice. What is it going to be? And we learned that the quality of our life will be determined by the quality of the choices that you and I make. How many realize? By the quality of choices that you make will determine the quality of life you have. And we use Moses as our example. You know, Moses, the Bible says, chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy sin's pleasure for just a season. And, Moses was willing to bear the cross rather than to receive the crown. How many realize that Moses could have been the next Pharaoh of Egypt? And he chose to suffer with his people. Why? Because he made certain choices in his life. And then last week we learned that character, not circumstances, will determine our success in life. Let me say that again. It is our character and not circumstances that will determine our success in life. How many realize that character is that quality of life that keeps you and I truly committed out long after the excitement has wore off of things? Amen? How many realize it's easy to be excited in the beginning? You know, when you buy that new car and you those few payments in the beginning are not too bad. Because your car has that new car smell. I love that new car smell. I do. But have you realized after about a year, that new smell's gone, and it's harder and harder to make those payments every month. Have you realized it? Amen? It always is that. But let me tell you something. Character keeps on going even when the new car smell has wore off. Amen? We used Joseph as our example last week. Joseph knew God had a plan and had a purpose for his life. And God had given him a dream, and Joseph was not going to give up on the dream that God had given him. He was rejected by his family, forsaken by his family, sexually harassed and slandered by the boss's wife. Amen? He was unjustly put in prison for a crime he didn't commit and forgot about his friends. If any man ever had a reason to give up on God and to give up on life, it was Joseph. Have you realized that? He could have said, I'm done with this. Nothing has gone right in my life. But because Joseph was a man of character, he would not allow his circumstances to strip him of the God-given dream that God had put in his heart and his life today. Can I tell you something? Circumstances happen in our life. How many realize that? Bad things come into our life. There are circumstances. And sometimes there's nothing we can do about those. But can I tell you something today? We serve a God that is greater than our circumstances. Amen? And is able to lift you above your circumstances and let God fulfill the dream that God has put in your heart today. Amen? Hallelujah. This morning I want to bring to you a message to number three in this series here. It's called Making Your Life Count by Encouraging Others. Amen? Every one of us here this morning has experienced those times in our life that we need a little encouraging. Amen? Now Friday when I had painted all of that stuff and it rained all the paint off it, I need a little encouraging. Sean and I, did I do that right? Sean, I got it right that time. Sean and I, we're out there and it's, I mean, it's not just raining a little bit. It's coming down in buckets. And we just watched that paint just slide right off of those things. I looked at Sean, he looked at me and we were like, oh, we need a little encouragement. Amen. We all know what that is like. We need those encouragement. Hallelujah. Discouragement always has a way of making us feel and making us believe that we're alone in the world and that nobody's going through what I'm going through. Isn't it the truth? When you and I find ourselves discouraged, you know what we do? We feel isolated. And when we feel isolated, we feel like that no one cares about what we're going through. And when it happens, you know what? Everything looks worse than it really is. How many of you realize that? You know, after we got a chuckle after all the paint washed off, we said, well, what can you do? Amen. We'll just get some more paint and paint them again. Hallelujah. And they're going to look better than they did before, aren't they, Shane? Sean, amen. I'm going to get a sign around your neck that says Sean. Praise the Lord. But when things happen to us like that, things look always worse than they really are. How many realize that? The mountain always looks bigger. The problem always looks bigger. Because we need some encouragement. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis 2, verse 18. It said that God said it's not good for man to be alone. And all the women said, amen. You know, I believe that when God looked over heaven after he had made man, he probably scratched his head and said, I got to get him some help down there. Adam and Eve, though, were created, amen, to have fellowship with God, amen. And each of them, remember, they used to walk with God in the cool of the day. God created Adam and Eve to have fellowship with. But not just for him to have fellowship with them, but for them to have fellowship one with another. How many realize that? Oh, listen. You see, we were created in God's image, but we were created to have a relationship with people. Have you realized that today? We were not created to isolate ourselves. There is this universal need inside of every one of us here to be loved and to be accepted and to be brought into a relationship with other people. From the moment that you and I were born, there's this deep longing to be loved and to be accepted by other people. You know, you take that little baby after it's born and you put it in the arms of that mother and they begin to cuddle that child. What happens? A peace and a calm begins to come over that child. Why? Because there's a need, a universal need in our lives for someone to fellowship with us and to hold us and encourage us. The desire to be validated is one of the most strongest motivations in our lives. And we will do just about anything to get that validation in our lives. Why? Because we want to be accepted. And where do we get that from? We get it from other people. We get it when people encourage us. Proverbs 17 verse 22 says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine. So I'm going to stop right there. Some of you just need a good laugh. Amen? It's a good medicine. Sometimes we just need to have a big belly roll. You know what I'm talking about. I try to take a dose of that just about every day. Amen. There's something that we can enjoy. There's things in life that we can enjoy. How many realize the world is full of bad things? But the Bible tells us that a merry heart or a cheerful heart is good medicine. But listen to this. But a broken spirit saps a person's strength. A broken spirit saps a person's strength. There's going to be times in our lives that you and I are going to find ourselves with a broken spirit. That's just life. How many realize it? I said last week, things do not always go as we had planned. In fact, very seldom do they go as planned. And if we're held into that, How many realize that we'll find ourselves being discouraged more than we are encouraged? Amen? But we need to realize that even though we have a broken spirit, there's going to be times when I find myself that I'm going through discouragement. And when it's possible that even some of you here this morning are going through that right now in this place today. The cares of life might have gotten the best of you this week. You might have found yourself barely able to drag yourself into the house of God today because of the things that you faced. How many realize the world and the world system has a way of dragging us down? Amen? Can I tell you something this morning? This is out of my heart. I want to share this with you. You know what? Out there, I might take a beating. Hear me? Out there, the world may kick me in the teeth. But when I come to the house of the Lord, hallelujah, I can lay my burdens down. Amen. When I come into the house of the Lord, let me tell you, the devil has no place here. Amen. I'm going to come in. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to shout. I'm going to sing praises unto God. Why? Because this is my territory. Amen. I'm going to get all filled up so I can go out there and give the devil his due. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know what I'm talking about? It's possible you're discouraged here this morning. It happens to the best of us. And can I tell you something? If you're not discouraged this morning, thank God for it. Rejoice in it. Because there's coming a time. There'll come a day. It might be around the corner. That discouragement's going to find its place in your heart. That's the way life is. It's the way it is. Now, when I get discouraged, you know what I normally do? The first thing I normally do when I get discouraged is I complain. And then after I complain a little bit, you know what I do? I feel sorry for myself. And then, you know what? I look for somebody to blame. Usually I blame my wife. and then she takes care of that real quick. I mean, what are we talking about? And then, you know what? There's times that I even get bitter when I get disappointment. And then you know what I usually do? I isolate myself. Now, is that just me or does that sound something like you do also? I have a feeling this morning that probably every one of us do the same thing. When we get discouraged, we start to complain. We feel sorry for ourselves. We look for someone to blame. And sometimes we get bitter and we like to isolate ourselves. Now, I want you to know something. There are times, in times like that, I need people more than ever. How many realize that? Oh, listen, it's not a time to run away. Can you hear me? It's not a time. Sometime we get discouraged, and the first thing we do is we stop coming to church. I've had people who come to church, next thing you know, they start falling off. You know, I'll go to them, they'll say, well, I just was discouraged. You know what I want to do? I want to just slap them. A holy slap, okay? Why? Because that's the worst thing in the world we can do. That's exactly the ploy of the enemy, is to isolate you. Can I tell you something? When the enemy can isolate us, he can have his way with us. Amen? But when we gather together with God's people in God's house, hallelujah, the power of God is there to strengthen us and to encourage us. Amen? And not be defeated by the devil. Amen? But we want to isolate ourselves. It's the worst thing that we can do. Because it's in those times of discouragement that we need the church and that we need God's people more than ever. Amen? Isolation is not the answer. Did you know that isolation is the breeding ground for discouragement? The longer I stay isolated from other people, the more discouraged I become. What I need to do is get around God's people. What I need to do is get around people of God that can lift me up and that can bring some encouragement into my life. Amen? And that's what you do. Why do we need that? Why? Because that's what God has called us to do. Amen? This morning, there's probably somebody sitting next to you that needs to be encouraged. People are hurting all around us that we're not aware of. People are hurting more than we ever can even dream. And you say, well, they got a smile on their face. How many realize that a smile don't always represent what's going on the inside? And I would venture to say that in this church this morning, there are people here who are hurting. There are people here who are discouraged. There are people here today that wonder if anybody cares. And what do they need? They need people like you and me today to bring encouragement into their life. Hurting people. Hurting people. Now, the church is a lot different than any other organization. How many realize that? You see, we can go to some club, we can go to some organization, but that club or organization doesn't have the power to do what it needs to do in our lives. Amen? But can I tell you something? The church has the power to do something in our lives to change us. Amen? Now, I might go to a club and I might get whooped up for a while, but when I go home, I've got more problems than I had when I began. How many realize that today? But I can come to the house of God and get myself around godly people. And what happens? The power of God begins to move in me. And things don't look quite as bad as they did in the beginning. Amen? Why? Because I've lifted up my eyes from my problems and I've got my eyes on God. Hallelujah. And I've got people there saying, you can make it and you can do it. Put your eyes on Him. And you know what happens? God begins to rise up within us. Amen? Hallelujah. Any group of people can enjoy themselves, but Christians know when they spend time together with one another and other believers, there's an eternal impact that happens into our lives. Now this morning I want to share with you a few things why we need to encourage one another. I want to give you three reasons this morning. Number one, real simple. God commands it in His Word. How many realize that? God commands it. We need to encourage one another simply because God's Word tells us to do so. Can I tell you what 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this? It says, so encourage one another and build each other up just as you are already doing. He's saying you're already encouraged. Continue to that. Continue to lift one another up. Hebrews 10:24 says this, think of ways to encourage one another. In other words, put some thought into it. Plan on doing it. What can I do to encourage my brother and my sister? Can I tell you something? We need to put a little thought in how we're going to encourage one another. Amen? It might be sending somebody a card. It might be simply picking up the phone and saying, listen, I've been thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I care about you. Is there anything I can do for you? God loves you. See, when you do that, we're putting some thought in it. And the Bible says that we need to think of ways that we might be able to encourage those that are hurting and broken. Let me tell you something. If you'll do that, when you're down and out, God will send somebody to encourage you this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus says in John 13:34, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Amen. Jesus has loved you and I without any reservations, without any limits. And the way we can show the world that we are Christians is to do the same for others, to encourage one another, to lift one another. We express our love to one another through what? Through encouragement. Through encouragement this morning. You see, being a Christian is all about relationships. It's all about relationships. First, it's my relationship to God. Amen? That has to be right. How many realize that? And then, my relationship with everybody else. See, we were made for that. This life that we are called to live as a Christian is not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. How many realize that? It's not just being able to quote a couple of scriptures in our head. But the life that Christ has called you and I to do is about developing and strengthening our relationships with God and with one another tonight. That's why He calls us to what? Encourage one another. You know, Jesus gave us the secret for developing strong relationships with one another. It's found in Matthew 22:37. You must do this. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first commandment, and a second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see the connection there? The connection is this. I love God with everything within me. And as a result, it'll transform me into loving my neighbor just as I love myself. Amen? We develop that. And by doing that, what happens? We develop strong relationships. That's what being a Christian is all about. Being a Christian is about building relationships through love that is expressed through encouraging one another. 1 Corinthians 5:19 says this. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. 2 Corinthians 5:19. This is the wonderful message He has given us to tell others. What is He saying? He wants you and I to tell others about the grace of God, to encourage one another about what God is doing. And I'll tell you something, you can't encourage others if God's not doing something in your life. Amen? If you're not open to God doing something in your life, let Him do something in your life so you can tell this good news to somebody else. Jesus dying on the cross for our sin was God's expression of love to you and me. And I don't know about you, but that is encouraging to me. Amen? And I want to encourage other people. That's what keeps me going. Encouragement is an expression of our love toward one another. So why should we encourage one another? Because God's Word commands it. Amen? Number two, why do we encourage one another? Number two, because it's needed. It is needed. Listen to me. All around the world, everywhere you look, people are being crushed by life this morning. Amen? How many realize that there are marriages all around us? You probably know some of them. Marriages that are falling apart all around us. All around us. People are struggling financially. How are they going to make their ends meet? How are they going to be able to pay their bills? Parents that are worried about their children. There are many who have regrets about the things they've done in the past. Some are experiencing health problems and don't know how they're going to get their medicine, don't know how they're going to make it through these health problems. There's just a few things, but there's so many more. People around us are hurting. Listen to what Job 5, verse 6 and 7 says. For the hardship does not spring forth from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. But listen to this. Yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. How many realize that this world is full of trouble? This world is full of heartaches. This world is full of that power that wants to tear us up inside. Amen? And what is he saying? He's saying it doesn't come from anywhere, but this world comes. This world is, this trouble comes up and it's about this world in us. Life has a way of wearing you and I down. And if it's not bad enough that life does it, how many realize that we have an enemy of our soul that will shove it down our throats? Not only does life give us a hard time, not only life is bad and difficult because of sin that has filled this world, but we have an enemy that wants to destroy your life. You know, the Bible says that the thief cometh but to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. We need it. We need it. People are ready to pack it in and give up spiritually because circumstances of life has been so difficult. Everywhere we look, people are teetering on the edge. How many realize that today? Did you know there were people who got up this morning who said, life's not worth living, and they took their life this morning? Because they felt like there was nobody that cared, and they felt like they had no hope. Why do we need to encourage one another? Because it's so needed. God loves, has a plan for their lives, and we need to share that with them. People all around us need to be encouraged not to give up. There's one more reason why we want to encourage people, and that's because there is so much at stake. Let me say that again. We need to encourage one another. Why? Because there's so much at stake. You know what Hebrews 10:25 says? It said, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming is drawing nigh. How many realize that? How many realize that? I don't know if you're aware of it or not this morning, but Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus is coming again. You say, oh, preachers have been saying that for years. Yeah, that's right, they have. And guess what? It's ever even closer now than it has been back then. How many realize? Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Oh, listen. He's coming soon. And all eternity is at stake. Lives are literally hanging in the balance this morning. We've been called to encourage the lost to come to Christ. How many realize that? You know, there are two kinds of people in this world. There are two kinds. There are people who are saved, and there are people who are lost. Let me tell you something, there's no in between. There's none of us hanging in limbo. How many realize that? There's two kinds of people. You're either saved or you're lost. There's those people who know Jesus or those people who don't know Him. There are those people who will spend eternity in heaven, and there's those who are going to spend eternity in hell. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says this, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." You know what Paul is saying? Because you and I know what awaits on the other side, it ought to be the motivator for us to encourage people to come to Jesus Christ. Why? Because so much is at stake this morning. Amen? Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Listen, my friend, the terror of the Lord is a real thing. It's not something that's made up. Hell is a real place. And people who don't repent of their sin and turn from their wicked ways and believe in Jesus will spend eternity in a lake of fire which burns and it shall not be quenched. That's real today. Why do we need to encourage people? Because lives are hanging in the balance. The old preacher used to say, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. How many know what I'm talking about? And what was true back then is true today. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun this morning. We are living in a world today that has no fear of God whatsoever. There's no fear of God's judgment. There's no fear of God's hell. But let me assure you this morning, whether you believe it or not, there will come a time, there will come a day when every one of us will stand before Almighty God and we'll have to give an account of what we have done in this life, and we'll be judged for the life that we've lived upon this earth. Did we give our lives to Christ? Did we commit ourselves to Him? Did we follow His Word? Did we live for Him? Or did we go and do our own thing? For some, it'll be a day of great joy and great thanksgiving when we stand before the Lord, the one, hallelujah, who saved us by His grace, amen, and we'll hear the words, "Enter in, thy good and faithful servant." That'll be a day of great rejoicing, a great praise, seeing Jesus face to face. Isn't that going to be a great day? But for others that don't know Jesus Christ, it will be a day not of joy, not of thanksgiving. It will be a day of complete horror and complete terror as they stand before their judge. Can I tell you something? It's too late then to repent. It's too late to change. It's too late to get right with God then. They have made their choice to serve themselves and reject Jesus Christ. And with extreme anguish, they will hear the most frightening words that they've ever heard. Depart from me. Depart from me. Those are the three most frightening words that will ever be spoken from Jesus Christ. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. I never knew you. Oh my goodness, church. Why do we need to encourage people? Because so much is at stake. The lives of men and women, boys and girls, are at stake. That's why we need to encourage. You know what he goes on to say, "Ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." How many know we don't hear a lot about hell anymore? But just because we don't hear about it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And it doesn't mean that people are not going to end up there. Can I tell you something this morning? And I say this with all the love and compassion. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, you'll stand before God and it'll be a day of terror. And you'll find yourself without God in the outer darkness in a lake that was prepared only for the devils and his angels. Why do we need to encourage others? Because we know the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. Because there's so much at stake. Can I tell you something? This is not about making our life better here on this earth. What we do here is to prepare ourselves for eternity. How many realize that? It's to prepare you and I to be able to stand before God and to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the small. Enter into the joys of the Lord. But because we know the other side of that coin, there ought to be a fire burning in our hearts and lives to reach the lost before it's too late. There's so much at stake. The lives of our loved ones are at stake. The lives of our children are at stake. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. How many realize that? And knowing that, we ought to persuade men. Would you bow your head with me for just a moment? Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning with a heavy heart, O God. I sense your presence in this place in such a real way. And Father, you know I'm not trying to scare anybody out of hell, Lord. But Father, I'm praying, O Lord, that I would persuade men with the truth. That I would encourage men to turn and women to turn from their ways and call on the name of Jesus, because the terror of the Lord is a real thing. And Father, I pray that you would stir the church, oh God, like we've never been stirred before. Father, that's why we do the things we do, to reach people, oh God. Because hell is a real place. And your word says that many be there that find it. Father, I pray right now that you would stir us, O Lord. But I pray, God, that you would stir the hearts of the lost today. Father, I pray for those that are without you, that don't know you as your personal Savior, Lord. And Father, I pray if there's those here today that don't know you, I pray that you would stir their hearts like never before. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, I wonder how many would say this morning, Pastor Rick, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not ready to meet Jesus. I'm not ready to meet Him. And I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared. Would you slip your hand? I want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder how many of you here this morning would say, Pastor Rick, I have a loved one that's lost. I have a child that is lost. I have a family member that is lost. I have a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter that doesn't know Jesus Christ. You'd say, I want to be steward. I want to have the power. I want to have the strength to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me? Yes, thank you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, Lord, for these who've gathered together today. Father, I have loved ones, Lord, unless they turn from their wicked ways, O Lord, and call upon the name of Jesus, Lord, they will stand before you as judge. Just like others that have raised their hands, Lord, who have loved ones today, God. Father, I pray for the lost of Jesus. Father, that Jesus would just overtake them, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit today. Lord, I ask you to raise, Father, up men and women. I pray that you would put a fire in our heart, O God. Father, a realization, O Lord, that the end is coming quickly, O God. The time is short. And Father, Lord, that we might, knowing the terror of the Lord, that we might persuade and encourage men to come to you. Father, I ask you this in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.